Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater. This powerful heater puts out 78% more heat than big box heaters 7 times its size and can heat up to 1,000 square feet. Get your Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater today at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word Howie10 and you'll save $10 and get free shipping.
Strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's about power and control, and it's just one more thing that they've done wrong. I mean, frankly, I don't know that they've done anything right. What was the Quinnipiac poll had his approval rating at 33%. I think the real question is, who are these 33%?
Who are these people?
But I said if they get elected, our country would become a large-scale version of Venezuela, remember? And I didn't really, you know, I said it, and I meant it a little bit. Guess what? It's true.
Venezuela, here I come!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them.
Including a great American name,
Howie Carr.
Y'all know what day it is?
It's somebody's birthday today.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Happy birthday to me. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. It's really nice of Donny Osmond to sing a birthday song for me, a happy birthday song. I guess it isn't quite up there with, you know, Marilyn Monroe for President Kennedy at Madison Square Garden back in 1962, but I'll take it. And
Howard, it's your birthday. Time to celebrate and sing about who? You. Come on, Howard. It's your birthday. Time to sing and shout.
It's nice, huh? I know. Howard is my official name, my legal name. And there are all kinds of parties here today. I'm working in Boca Raton, in the Newsmax studio. But you know, we're having some little parties here. And you know, Martin Mull, who I once saw perform at in Central Park, long before he became part of Fernwood Tonight. In those days, he had a band, the Fabulous Furniture. One of whom was a guy I worked with at the Daily Tar Heel. I got a million connections to everybody. You get to be my age, I guess you're connected to everybody. But Martin Mull, he summed up my feelings about my birthday today and all the parties and the nice gifts I'm receiving.
Open another bottle of that Budweiser brew. We bought it special for you. All the lovely neckties are open and passed. What a lovely birthday. It's just like my last. I got to run to find the hostess and give her a hand to shake. Kiss her with a mouthful of cake.
Oh, wow. It's so great. Cake. Cake from the Publix. A King Budweiser. It's just great. Roz says, happy 39th. Thank you. Thank you, Roz. It is. I never got that joke with Jack Benny back when I was under the age of 39. Now I get it. Anyway, 844-500-4242. A lot to discuss here today. A lot going on. And, you know, the first thing that I want to say is talk about this terror attack that the FBI initially claimed was not a terror attack. And Biden said was not a terror attack. But now they've been forced to change the narrative.
Nothing to see here.
So what happened was, in case you haven't been following it, that a radical Muslim who's now been killed, thankfully, made anti-Semitic remarks, took a synagogue hostage, and demanded the release of a terrorist who was imprisoned for trying to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, who's known as Lady Al-Qaeda. But we don't know whether or not what the motives were. The local constabulary and the federal constabulary remain baffled by his motives. I sense that this guy was a lone wolf. Now his family in London, and by the way, they're saying, oh, he's a British national, so they're making him out like he's one of the Cray brothers or Prince Charles. Crikey, mate. He just wanted to get him a bit as governor. He's from Pakistan. He's from Pakistan. What's his name? The Ace of Spades headquarters is describing him as not an Islamic terrorist, in all in caps. Not an Islamic terrorist.
The investigation continued. Meantime, the newspapers were still making front page material out of the story.
Well, actually, they're not making front page material out of the story. They're actually giving it a good, leaving it alone. But this is what Joe Biden had to say about it yesterday. Dementia Joe, cut three.
Do you know why he targeted that specific synagogue?
Well, no, I don't. We don't have. I don't think there is sufficient information to know about why he targeted that synagogue, why he insisted on the release of someone who's been in prison for over 10 years, why he was engaged, why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli comments. We just don't have enough facts.
Joe must have been really bad at connect the dot games when he was a kid.
As 619 says, disagree with a school board, you're a domestic terrorist. Take hostages at a synagogue, spew out anti-Semitic hate. The FBI needs time to determine the motive. Cheryl Atkinson had some guests on, I think, her podcast over the weekend, and they went down these 13 cases where the FBI had somehow been baffled by the motives, even though they had gotten tips about the perps, or they had actually, in some cases, interviewed the tips, the perps, and had their names on the terrorist watch list. And of these 13 cases, would you care to guess how many involved Muslims, terrorists? Nine. I mean, they're randomly ones that don't, like the Parkland High School shooter that was turned in by his aunt before he went on the rampage in Broward County, but in Florida. But that was the exception, or one of the exceptions that proves the rule. If it's Muslims, they just don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about it. Another thing, I'd forgotten about this. The one in another one in Texas, Garland, Texas. Remember, they had the cartoon drawing of the prophet, and so these two Muslim terrorists decided to come in and shoot up the place, and they were killed by local cops and local security guards. But as they were driving to this exhibition that they were going to commit an Islamic terror attack on, they were followed by an FBI agent in the car. And as soon as when the FBI agent saw the two terrorists get out of the car with guns, did he try to assist the rent-a-cops and the local law, the deputies? No. You know what he did? He got back in his government-issue car and turned around and fled the scene. This is your FBI, the FBI in War and Peace. Inspector Lou Erskine is turning over in his grave. The guy from the ABC show on Sunday nights back in the 60s and into the 70s. Meanwhile, though, the dead terrorist mother was reached for comment today in Old Blighty.
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Thank you. Thank you.
I say, Ahmed, what is that thing you people do when you're about to assassinate an infidel?
Ah, you mean this?
Here's the FBI's official statement, or at least the news reporting on it. Cut four.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community, but we're continuing to work to find motive, and we will continue on that path. In terms of the resolution of the incident, the hostage taker is deceased.
It was not specifically related to the Jewish community. By the way, Lady Al-Qaeda, when she was being tried in federal court for trying to kill U.S. troops, she demanded genetic testing of all the jury pool so that because she said that she didn't want anybody with the slightest drop of Jewish blood in among the 12 jurors that were going to decide her fate. And again, the killer, the guy that was killed when the hostage taker, he was making anti-Semitic remarks.
I like that new name we're giving to extremist sympathizers, hostage takers. It's very passive.
Hostage takers, yes. They took so much grief, you know, and usually they don't care because, you know, they're Democrats. But even today they took so much grief that they felt like they had to come out and say, okay, you shamed us into saying it was a terror attack. Ugh. 844-500-4242. 201, if a white guy has a problem with anyone, the media immediately knows the most. You don't have to be a white guy either, by the way. You could those school board protesters in Virginia, they were of all race, colors, and creeds, and the FBI immediately knew to brand them with the T word and to set up these counter T word task forces to bring them to justice.
But Howie, it's pretty amazing how reminiscent this is of the Obama years, like this inability to call out terror attacks when you see them.
Yeah. Someone said the difference is that the Obama, that their cover-ups were orderly. Under the Biden administration, it's just total chaos. It's like every other aspect of the Biden disaster. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this looking the other way when it comes to Islamic terrorists or Chinese viruses or Russian payoffs or any other damn thing. 844-500. Was he a white Muslim? You mean like white Hispanics? Yeah, I don't know if he was a white. Yeah, he looked kind of white. The mug. By the way, he had a lengthy criminal record in the UK, and they're asking, well, how did he get into the country? How did a million other criminals get into the country since Dementia Joe became president?
I'm shocked.
Right, exactly. All right, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr. He's not here to make nice.
Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
The Howie Carr Show.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something.
That was also her statement after the terror attack on the synagogue in suburban Dallas on Saturday. Some people did something, but they weren't there. It was not specifically focused. It was specifically focused on an issue not directly connected to the Jewish community. Those were the words of the FBI. Fidelity, bravery, integrity. Those are words that those initials have not stood for a very, very long time. I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows. I wear their slippers. I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets. Go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. So the Patriots are out. Disastrous performance on Saturday night. What? Can I have the breaking news? Sound effect, please. Late breaking news, the Buffalo Bills have just scored another touchdown to run up the lead on the Patriots. But you know what happened. It was a disaster. So, Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Now that the Patriots have been eliminated, who are you rooting for to go to the Super Bowl? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, the Buffalo Bills, or the Kansas City Chiefs?
And there could be others, too. But I'm rooting for the Green Bay Packers because of Aaron Rodgers. Everybody hates Aaron Rodgers because Ayn Rand, not taking a vaccine, thinking for himself. He's got to be the only guy who's graduated from UCal Berkeley in like the last 30 years who's not a complete nut. And so they hate him. You should read the message boards at the Boston Globe and just to see how much they hate him. How can you not be for Aaron Rodgers' team?
52% say they want to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, followed by 24% saying the Packers.
All right. And the other two, no one cares about the Bills or the Chiefs, I guess. All right. 844. I think you really ought to think about it. I mean, Tom Brady's okay, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, he's giving the middle finger to woke culture, to cancel culture. You know, Tom Brady is, he's a little under the control of Giselle, I think, you know. I'd say Aaron's a lot more manly, shall we say. A lot more like one of us.
Even with the man bun?
I don't care about the man bun. As long as he's saying, you know what, I don't need you to tell me what to do. That's all I want to hear. That's all.
Howie,
I want to
you
hear.
Saying Aaron Rodgers is manly like one of us is going to light up the chump line today.
I'm just saying he's not woke, Grace. You know what I mean. Don't you agree?
Yes, I like Aaron Rodgers. I do, and I appreciate how he has really come back at all of the woke people, and he won't back down, and I'm rooting for him for sure. But yeah. I also love Tom Brady. I'd be happy either way.
Yeah. They're probably going to end up in the NFC Championship anyway, so it'll be a fun game. All right. Larry, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, well, Howie, listen, I've got over 30 years experience working counterterrorism and training police. What the FBI did down there in Texas makes no sense in terms of the assault because all of the hostages had run out. There were no hostages left inside. So the rule of thumb is you never put your tactical team's life at risk attacking a guy that's by himself. You toss in tear gas, force him out or wave
right.
him out. But there was absolutely no reason to go in there and start shooting this guy up. Because he was by himself.
When was the last time the FBI had a successful any kind of operation, basically? And I'm not including, arresting somebody like the Gretchen Whitmer kidnappers when there were more FBI agents than kidnappers. When was the last time they had a successful operation?
About a year ago this month.
What was that?
January 6th.
Yeah, I continue. My question stands, obviously. Larry, can you think of a successful operation they've conducted recently?
No, not lately. And, you know, it's been one of the hallmarks. I mean, you go back to Ruby Ridge. That was not a great success. You know, they killed a woman there. And then what happened
Waco.
In Texas with the
Waco.
Idiots. Yeah, Waco.
Right.
So it's, you know, but just the tactics that are involved with this don't make sense. And I've got a nephew who runs a SWAT team in Kansas.
Yeah. I think, you know, Sean Hannity keeps saying 99% of them are good. I don't think it's anywhere near that, but there are some decent agents. But I think they hate the headquarters, too, just as much as we do. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. 617 says, if Trump were to run and win again, do you think he would take a wrecking ball to the so-called seventh floor at the FBI? Yes. Absolutely. And he wouldn't waste any time either. He'd do it on day one. There's no question in my mind he would clean out that place. It's a viper's nest, and it's horrible. And what happens is that it's now the Democrats' secret police, as I think Jesse Kelly said, the talk show host. But the thing about Praetorian Guards is down through history is or the Janissaries in the Ottoman Empire, they begin by working for the emperor, but it's not long before the emperor or whether it's of the Roman or the Ottoman Empire is working for them, and they're the bosses. The secret police will always take over ultimately. Look who the boss of Russia is now. The Soviet Union is gone, but a former KGB agent by the name of Putin is running the whole show.
You have so much information, so you can probably get like all these political figures over a barrel and say, "Hey, you have to do what we say." I mean, isn't that
or you can just frame them. Like they certainly tried their best to frame Donald Trump.
But doesn't this even go back to Howie, what you've written about before with the Kennedys and J. Edgar Hoover? It's like they get so much power where they'll help you if you're quiet.
Right. Where JFK, J. Edgar Hoover had the pillow talk of him with the Nazi spy in Charleston during World War II when he was a young ensign. They knew about the East German spy that he was betting when he was president of the United States. J. Edgar Hoover had him over a barrel. All the Kennedys. He knew all. He had all the Marilyn Monroe final phone calls. He may have had wiretaps of Marilyn Monroe's final moments with Bobby Kennedy. This is what secret police across the world do.
It's just sad because there's no place where people could go and read about all of that and understand more about the Kennedys and all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they could go to HowieCarrShow.com and they could buy Kennedy Babylon volumes 1 and 2 because we go into great detail.
What better way to celebrate your birthday than from purchasing something from your store?
That's right. There's all kinds of great stuff there. There's restaurant gift certificates to arcades in Laconia, New Hampshire, the Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Do you know who has a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt now, Grace?
Who?
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
Oh, he loves referring to the Biden administration as the Brandon administration.
That's right. He sometimes he makes a mistake and calls it the Biden administration, but he likes to call it the Brandon administration. I gave it to him last night in Palm Beach.
Well, speaking of Let's Go Brandon, can I also, Taylor, and sorry if I'm being greedy here, but could I also use the breaking news sound? Because this is a big update. This was from a blue checkmark, Karen Tumulty. She tweeted out on January 15th, so that would have been
2 days ago.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday.
She tweeted out, "Pool is holding near the Biden residence and undergoing standard security checks. At 9:37 a.m., a blue sedan drove by and a woman yelled, 'Let's go, Brandon,' twice at the pool."
Oh, my God.
Steven. No
wonder the FBI couldn't figure out if this guy was a terrorist.
They were too busy.
An Islamic terrorist.
They were
too busy investigating Let's Go Brandon.
Yeah, they saw it. They were trying to find that blue sedan and see if she had any Lego sets in the back. But Stephen Miller retweeted this woman and wrote, "Glad you're all safe. Scary."
Yeah. Will grief counselors be in the White House press room today to console them?
And maybe some support animals, maybe some emotional support pigs and dogs.
Sometimes there could be dangerous moments after this kind of traumatic incident. They should probably take away all their belts and shoelaces too, just for safety's sake.
Yeah, we're all about safety here. All right, now let's get into a little bit of news here with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris says Senate Democrats must pass voting rights bills or risk being complicit.
Complicit in what? Voter integrity?
We wouldn't want that. Harris's stern pitch to fellow Democrats on Monday follows President Biden's controversial speech last week, where clearly, this is my own take on this, but they clearly learned nothing, because the general consensus of that speech was, wow, you're really ostracizing half the country. And I've mentioned this quite a few times, but I think it's worth noting. Greg Gutfeld had said this at one point in his show. He said, You know, the thing about Trump is he always went after the media, but he never went after the Americans who didn't vote for him. Like, you never got the sense that he hated people who didn't vote for him. He hated the mainstream media, and that's very different. With Joe Biden, he just called half the country racist for not agreeing with him, and now she's coming out and she's saying, if we don't pass these, then the Senate Democrats are complicit. So it's like, okay, so we're George Wallace, we're Bull Connor, we're complicit. Can you feel the unity, Howie?
Why isn't she holding a fundraiser for Marilyn Mosby's legal defense fund? You know, she had a fundraiser for Marilyn Mosby in 2017 after she tried to frame those six innocent cops in Baltimore.
Well, she said that Marilyn Mosby could not fail.
Yeah, because she was a woman of convictions. Hey, they always put in at the bottom of those press releases, you're assumed innocent until proven guilty. Don't jump to any conclusions there, cackling Kamala.
Did you see Marilyn Mosby was at church this weekend and she was talking about her case, her innocence, I should say?
I didn't see the latest. I wrote a column about it on for Sunday's paper. It's up on our website, HowieCarshow.com.
She was reading a speech to the congregation.
Yeah.
About how she was innocent. I just saw it on the Daily Mail. I didn't click on it. There was a video, though. She was reading a speech from her cell phone, I think. I'm sure it was very compelling.
Yeah, she's a victim of racial animus.
No, my favorite, Howie, is the old gangster excuse. I was a victim of circumstance.
How about the fact that she's blaming Donald Trump? Donald Trump. She tried to railroad these six cops, three of whom were black, into prison.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
The case falls apart. She has to drop the charges after the initial prosecutions are literally laughed out of court. And so someone goes up to Trump. He's campaigning. He's not the president. He's campaigning. The Obama Justice Department had told her, don't bring these charges. These are ridiculous. She brought them anyway. They're thrown out. And someone says, what do you think of the prosecutor's case trying to frame these cops falling apart? And Trump says, I think she should prosecute herself. And guess who's the lead for the racial animus? 6 years later, Grace.
Who?
In her press conference. Orange Man Bad. Yeah, he tried to prosecute me. He answered a question at a golf club in Florida when he was a candidate. One question.
Yeah, but he whenever you're in a bind, I mean, it's just always so easy to blame Donald Trump.
And it's racial animus, too. So the Justice Department under black president told her not to bring these charges. Then years go by. She's charged with unrelated crimes, and she's indicted by a grand jury that's run by a black prosecutor.
You know who she
should
really—
And that's racial animus.
Howie, you know who she should really be blaming?
Who?
Ron DeSantis, because she was trying to buy those homes in Florida, and if he didn't make Florida so damn appealing, then she would have never had to go and buy those houses. So this
dip is to dip into her personal retirement accounts.
Allegedly,
and she
said,
"That's my money. That's my money." Oh, yeah, it is your money, but you have to pay a penalty if you dip in before you're 59 and a half. You know how I know that, Grace? Because I've had to pay that penalty because I needed the money and I had to get a little bit.
That's something that you have to do, Howie. Okay, because you're a Republican boomer rube grandma killing.
Yeah.
Blonde-haired radio host of a for-profit radio show. Okay?
That's true.
Marilyn Mosby is a winner. She cannot fail. She's a woman of conviction. She doesn't need to dip in or dip out. She just does what she wants, allegedly.
Yeah. And why does she have to tell the truth on her bank applications? Like I said Friday, I mean, I know a guy, but he's like myself. His name is Joe Timmelty. He's of Irish descent. He was a Roman. He's deceased, but he was a Roman Catholic. He was born here. He has to obey the rules. Why does Marilyn Mosby have to tell the truth on a bank loan application form?
And I would just like to point out, she seems very nervous about all this, you know, stuff going on with I guess the IRS. They were allegedly looking into her even before this. Howie, by the way, Jill Biden says she took on a healing role during Joe's rough first year. The first lady says she took on a healing role amid her husband's disaster-filled first year in the White House as his administration and the nation were battered by the coronavirus.
What kind of vast right-wing conspiracy are you reading from there, Grace? What do you mean disaster? Everything is going a lot right exactly according to plan.
Take one guess. I'll give you one guess about where I'm reading from.
Daily Mail.
Nope. Close.
What?
The New York Post. I didn't kind of expect, which was like a healing role, because we're faced so much as a nation. We have faced so much, thanks to your husband.
Is she one of the doctors who signed that that denunciation of Joe Rogan?
That really was an incredible story. So 270-plus doctors signed on in an open letter to Spotify to start censoring Joe Biden for his misinformation. And a good handful of the people weren't even... Forget doctors. They weren't even like in the medical field. A chunk of them were science podcasters. I don't even know what that means.
So if you, so, Grace, if you and I started a podcast that said Science R Us, we could then sign this petition and be listed as physicians.
Howie, we don't even need to do that.
Could we prescribe drugs?
Howie, in our podcasts, we have mentioned the word science. Ipso facto, we are science podcasters. So I just want to know, when do I get to sign on to said letter? I wouldn't want to sign on because I like Joe Rogan, but still, I should have been asked. It's like going to a party, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to go anyway, but I would like the invitation. I would like the option to decline.
She blinded me with science.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
The Jill Biden's, the Dr. Jill Biden story.
One of the ladies who co-signed or, you know, co-created the letter, she's a CNN contributor.
Oh.
So I have a feeling that
CNN. I mean, they're a hotbed. Oh, and by the way, didn't the story break about the petition had broken Rolling Stone magazine?
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign.
Yeah, well, it's nice that Rolling Stone has time now to write about important things like this. Now that the wave of people who are overdosing on horse dewormer has subsided, they can write on this stuff now. But Howie, it really
is CNN.
It's crazy that this woman from CNN is writing this because you know what it makes me think? Like, beyond the fact that they're not actually worried about people getting misinformation, that's so bogus. But it's just funny because it's like, is this a little bit of jealousy? Like, is this just about how people actually listen to Joe Rogan and no one watches CNN anymore? Because if you guys are mad about his ratings, just ask him for help. Like, you don't have to do this. The open letter is not going to get you any more viewers.
Right. You know, maybe he's got this winning formula of letting opposing sides speak and not just spewing agitprop 24/7. Maybe that's could be a winning strategy. I mean, well, it certainly is going to perhaps decrease your plummeting number of viewers.
And I just want to say one more thing as far as CNN goes. I always find it amazing that virtue signaling right now, there's no end to the limits that liberals will go to virtue signal, whether it's like testing four times a day, five masks, whatever it is. They love to virtue signal, but they won't go as far as to watch CNN. Like, that's where they draw the line, you know? They'll sacrifice so much, but they can't watch Brian Stelter. And I find that to be pretty humorous.
You know, I think when they write the book, and it'll be a small book and it'll have a very small printing, the decline and fall and demise of CNN, I think the moment that it was irreversible was when they got rid of CNN Airport.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they lost the captive audience, that was it. It was over.
They were literally captive. They couldn't go anywhere.
I mean, you're in the airport a lot more often, most people are, than they're in the emergency room. They still have CNN hospital, so they still have that little sliver of the captive audience, but not like it used to be with the airports.
Yeah, they're going downhill fast, Howie. By the way, I'll be back a little bit later with Hate Mail Monday on a Monday.
All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you.
I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows. I wear their slippers. I dry off with their towels. But there's one thing that makes my night complete, and that's their Giza Dream Sheets. They're luxurious and soft and help me sleep so well. MyPillow's sheets are made with the world's best cotton called Giza. They're ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Trust me, once you try Giza sheets, you'll never sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors.
I have the pink sheets. They're amazing. And I've said this before, but, you know, it's sometimes hard to get the temperature right when you're in your room. And if you get really hot, sometimes the sheets can make it worse. These sheets keep you so cool. They're so soft. They're my absolute favorite sheets. I cannot say enough good things about them.
You don't realize how much of a difference soft sheets make until you sleep on soft sheets.
Yeah, no, I agree, because it does make you feel very like you're in a hotel or something. It's very luxurious.
Right. Right now, for a limited time only, Howie listeners can buy one set of sheets and get one free. Wow, that's free. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listeners Square. You'll find this amazing offer and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, towel sets, and more. They even come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Call 800-658-4965 or go to MyPillow.com. Don't forget the code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Marsha, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Marsha.
Hey, Howie, what'd you get me for Martin Luther King Day?
I'm happy Martin Luther King Day, Marsha.
There you go. Listen, I used to teach at Dover Sherwin. My kids all went there, and I had Marilyn.
That's what she was a Metco girl, a Metco grad of Dover Sherburn, where Marsha used to teach. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, certainly was. And let's just put it this way: I'm trying to be very careful here. Very entitled, chin in the air, awfully nicely dressed, from considering. And her essay, I taught her for. I worked in the remedial section. And she came to me for help with history prep for tests and for her college essay. And let's just say it needed a lot of work. So I brought her essay to the attention of my department chair and said, look, this is not college-level writing. What am I supposed to do with it? And he said, well, give her a break, give her a break, give her a break. So we shined it all up and sent it in, but... That's my tale. I have very vivid memories of her.
She seems, you know, it seems like she didn't do a very good job of reading the statutes about, you know, what involves perjury and making false statements, Marsha.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think the jury's going to cut it too much slack either. You know, the other thing about math, you know, she had to look at the math. The feds get convictions on about 98 to 99% of their cases. When you say this, you're going to prevail, plea bargaining has usually already begun. I'm Howie Carr.